Hello and welcome to Roll Out the Barrel, the podcast hosted by two UK fans of the Milwaukee Brewers. My name's Sean and you can find me on Twitter at Brum Brewer. And with me as ever is my brewing buddy, it's Mark Lewis. How are you, bud?
Oh, very well, thank you, mate. Other than technical issues, trying to get this call set up, but you know, it's, we're doing all right. We definitely had some gremlins.
Mate, yeah. It's been about 1,000 years since our last pod.
It was April, wasn't it? We didn't jump on the London series, did we? And kind of keep it rolling, did we? And life got in the way again, as always. And it's taken too long, but it's always nice to come back.
Well, like a bad penny, mate. We always return, don't we? Eventually.
Yeah, bad smell. So, linger around.
How have you been since London series, mate? Obviously, we met up. We watched the Cubs and the Cards, and that was. Yeah, as any Brewers fan out there will know, that was a tough gig for us to go and do.
But it was hard work, wasn't it? We had 3 whole days of watching the Cubs and Cardinals training and playing and having to drink copious amounts of beer to deal with it, didn't we? You know, it was a real hard slog, wasn't it? You know, because we also had a hot streak as well, didn't we? So it was like 80 degrees outside as well, so we were sweating our bottoms off and... Yeah, it was great fun though, wasn't it? It was good to catch up with you anyway, because we managed to actually have 3 days on the beer.
We did, and we managed to get a few of the UK brew crew together as well, which was nice, because we don't.
We all
talk on Twitter, but we don't actually get a chance to see each other. So it was nice to actually talk to some people. And even though, yes, okay, it was the Cubs and the Cards, for us as UK baseball fans, just to have Major League Baseball in the UK is amazing. You know, we don't care who we watch. It'd be fantastic to see the Brewers one time. But, you know, when we watched the Yankees and the Red Sox a few years ago, it was fantastic. And you know what? I really enjoy watching the Cubs and the Cards as well, because both teams lost.
Exactly.
Different days, but both teams lost.
That was the bonus, wasn't it? It was no lose situation for us. Saw the Cubs and the Cardinals lose. But I was going to just rib you a little bit, wasn't I, about the Brewers meetup thing that I set up. You stood me up, didn't you, on the first day?
Mate, I'd never stand you up, mate, ever.
You didn't make the first photograph, did you, by about 40 minutes?
I didn't, and there was a good reason for that. And
I was going to say, what did you dump me for? Come on, you tell everybody.
And you'll have to forgive me for this, but I was actually hobnobbing with the Cubs. My son's a Cubs fan. Imagine the fun in our house. We had some sort of, I don't know what you call them, but some passes to go backstage and kind of thing. And just a hobnob with the owners of the Cubs and a few players and have volivants and glasses of wine. So I thought that's a great opportunity. So do I do that or do I go and talk to Mark? And there was only one.
We know where the priorities left, didn't we? Where were the priorities, eh?
Look, if it's any consolation, the salmon volivants were wonderful. Okay.
No, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I would have done exactly the same. You chance to hobnob it in the VIP section, then you take it, don't you? But yeah, just wanted to wind you up a little bit about that. Because we held on for ages. There was, 15 of us for that first photograph, waiting for you to turn up, for you to suddenly tell us that you were sticking around with the Cubs lot. Just no dedication.
But you know what I did? So I had my Brewers gear, and my son said, you can't wear a Brewers shirt into a Cubs do. And I went, all right then. So I wore my Brewers shirt, and I just put a top over it. So underneath it, I had a Brewers top on, and it was like going behind enemy lines. It was still good. But
it was a good weekend.
It was a great weekend. There was some great baseball. And as I say, as a UK Brewers fan, to watch any major league teams is always a bonus. And next year, we've got the Mets and the Phillies coming over. So there's a lot of
that'd be another interesting one, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, so as I say, it's been a long time since we've done a podcast. Hopefully, with a bit of luck as we go into post-season, because I'm confident, we'll be able to get one or two more before the end of before we close out for the season. And today we got a pretty special podcast. We got a couple of guests online all the way from Wisconsin. And we're always really excited to have guests on the show. And today we got Gavin Bowe, who have joined us all the way from sunny Wisconsin, where I believe it's 92 degrees or something. So, Gavin Bowe, welcome to the pod and thanks for joining us.
Hello. We're happy to be here.
Yeah.
So listen, Gav, I'm detecting from your accent that you're not a native guy from the US. Is that right?
No, I'm not. I am I grew up in County Durham in the northeast of England, and I've lived here for, was it 12?
2011.
12 and a half years now. So.
Wow.
And I haven't lost the accent because the ladies love it. So I intend to keep it that way for as long as possible.
Don't blame you. It's the reason why we do this podcast, because the ladies love our accent. It's the only reason we get interaction.
And there's so many different accents as well.
So which part of County Durham are you from, Gav?
I grew up in a small town called Brandon. It's okay. Like it's 5 or 10 minutes, you know, if that, from Durham City.
Yeah.
I spent my formative years there, and then 2005 we moved slightly further away so that my parents could live near to their own. And then a couple of years after that I met her.
Yay.
And well, too excited. after a lot of money and stress, I ended up here, and like I said, I've been here for the last 12 and a half years now. Yeah.
Wow. Well, in a moment we're going to have a little chat really about you guys and how you met, and just really build on what you just told us there, and certainly how you became a Brewers fan, Gav. I assume baseball when you were younger wasn't a sport for you, certainly wasn't for us as kids. So we'll have a little chat about that. I'm intrigued to find out your story. So Bo, tell us about yourself.
I'm Milwaukee born and bred. I was raised there. That's about it.
So how did you get out of Milwaukee to England then?
You know, it's funny. I was supposed to go to college, but I met him. And so instead of going to college, I moved to England to be with him. So then I moved there because it was easier for me to move there than for him to move here, because America is much more difficult to get in. So,
okay.
When we actually met, though, we met online. She was still in the US and I was in the UK.
Yeah, we met online. Oh, okay. I missed that part. I'm bad at storytelling. I'm really bad at this. My goodness. It's my favorite story to tell. My sister Erin was buying something from him on eBay. And ever since I was 4, I wanted to meet and marry somebody from England because I like the accent. Because the Disney movie, The Great Mouse Detective, they had English accents. And I was like, oh, ever since I was little, I was like, I have to meet somebody with an English accent. So she told me she was talking to some guy from England who like contacted her with a sales pitch to sell more stuff. And I was like, tell him I love him and tell him I'm going to marry him. And my sister said, I'm not going to scare him away. And I said, I'll tell him myself. So we got on to MSN Messenger.
MSN Messenger, yeah. That's how old, that's how long we're going back here.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
And then Facebook. I had just gotten Facebook because it was 2006. So we started messaging on, the wall back in the day of Facebook.
Yeah, because they didn't have a private message function then. So you just had to write on each other's wall. It was called the wall then, it wasn't called a timeline. So we first got to speak in 2007,
October 2007.
And I had a webcam, and even though they're quite ubiquitous now, not many people had one. So she was like amazed that I had a webcam and she could see and hear me.
I was amazed we had a computer,
right? so she went out to buy one, and we got on every night, never missed a day, more or less.
Yeah.
And of course, it meant over time, over the months, my schedule, I guess, I was going to bed at 4 a.m. just so I could speak to her because she was 6 hours behind. And after a few months, we were like, we can't really keep this up. You know, we should really meet. And I'd never been to the States ever. So I got on a plane on my own, April 2008, not knowing really what I was getting in for. I mean, it's not the same. You can speak on the phone and speak online, but you really don't know somebody until you meet them.
I could have been a crazy person.
She could have been a crazy person.
Could have been, yeah.
So I got on a plane on my own, which I'd never done that before either. Landed in Chicago, and she was looking at the Burger King menu. She didn't see me. I walked up and went, no, what are we going to eat today? And she turned around.
And I was going to turn around and punch him because I was like, who's this guy talking to me?
And yeah, so then I spent a little while here on a visit. She flew back to England with me to meet the family. Hardest thing ever was saying goodbye at the end of that, because you didn't know when you were next going to be in the same airspace as the other person. That was always extremely difficult.
Yeah. So I flew back to England a few times.
I came back here one more time. And eventually it was like, can't keep up with this.
Yeah,
you know,
it's expensive.
It's expensive, and we know we want to be with each other. How do we do it?
Yeah.
And like she said, it was the easiest thing, or easier, for her to come and live in the UK whilst I applied to come and live in the States. So that's what we did. We got married in England, and when I applied for a visa, I was told it was going to be 6 months, because these things always, you know, there's always a lot involved, and we had to like prove that our evidence was real and they were actually married and I wasn't just using her as a meal ticket sort of thing. So we had to send in a stack of paperwork. They wanted to read emails that we shared, records of our phone calls. We had to do all of that. And they said, well, it'll be about 6 months before you get your visa. And we were like, okay. And I got mine in 6 weeks. That's how good, that's how good the evidence was, as it were.
Oh, good.
And I came here and then applied to be what used to be called an alien, but it's now a legal permanent resident. And here we are now, living in a little town of West Bend, which is about half an hour, 40 minutes outside of Milwaukee.
Okay, I've heard of it.
West Bend. Yeah.
In 10 days, Gavin is going to take his oath ceremony to become a United States citizen.
That's right, I'm going to be an American.
Excellent. So and then you can actually vote as well, then, exactly. I guess. Is that? Yes. Yeah, so.
Exactly. And we could use another vote.
Definitely.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's intriguing. So who needs Tinder, I suppose, when you've got eBay, yeah? Yeah,
exactly.
eBay is the new dating app, yeah?
I bought my husband.
Yeah, I should just say I wasn't looking for buy. Just, that was not
the unspecial offer.
Yeah.
that's really interesting. And when did, we might as well carry on with the whole story now then. I mean, when did the love affair with, I mean, obviously I'd imagine yourself, Bo, been in Wisconsin all your life, brought up around baseball maybe, but how did you get Gavin into baseball?
So, my family isn't very sporty, but my sister Lorinda, who passed away in January, she was like all about Wisconsin sports. And so ever since I was little, it was her who got me into baseball, because my, like I said, my family's not, they're not sporty. They don't really care. So she really indoctrinated me with everything Brewers and Packers and stuff like that. And so I had to do the same thing to him. So I would just send him merchandise all the time, like hats and jackets and like talk about the Brewers. Like, we didn't have cable, so I didn't follow it very closely, and I didn't really understand baseball like I do now, but I just had to like just send him Brewer gifts so that he would like love the logo, and then he would eventually love the sport.
It's odd, because I was kind of like, when I was like 12, 13, 14 at school, I was kind of like the odd lad out, because I wasn't sporty at all. I didn't like football, I didn't like soccer. I got into basketball a little bit because I'm quite tall, but nothing really clicked. All I knew about baseball was, I guess, what we see in the movies when we're going up over there. You don't really see it on the TV much. It's always in movies. It must have been, I don't know if it was the first year we met, but you could listen to Bob Uecker on the radio online. And I used to do that when I was in the UK. And that's how I actually bought, I don't know if we were in the postseason, but it must have been point in the year. I seem to remember listening to it.
The postseason, yeah.
So I used to, so we would listen to the games on the radio. I'd be in England and she'd have it on the radio, and I was listening to the radio online. You could listen to Bob Uecker. It was about a minute out, because it had to go 4,000 miles across the ocean. And I don't know why I wasn't forced into it. It was something that I was genuinely interested in. I didn't know much about it, and I fell in love with it really, really fast, and never looked back since, really.
Me and Mark are kind of the same, aren't we, Mark? I mean, neither of us are native to baseball, obviously being from the UK, but what there is in the UK is there's a small but very knowledgeable, close-knit community of people that love baseball. And all the main 30 franchises are all represented in the UK by somebody. Obviously, Mark looks after the Brewers. Well, can we call it Twitter? What's it called these days?
Whatever he's trying to kill it with, you know.
Yeah. it's still Twitter. I think baseball just sucks you in, and once you're in, you're in, and that's kind of you just don't get out again. And we absolutely adore it.
I'm just pleased, Gav, you didn't say I really liked rounders at school, so I thought I'd get into such a common answer.
You know what? People in the UK still don't know the difference between baseball and rounders.
No, exactly.
Chalk and cheese, man.
Although, saying that, seeing as I'm on a call with two other people from different parts of the UK, do you know what stall ball is?
Stall ball? I don't think so.
This must be a Sussex thing then, because it's kind of like cricket, but it's on posts, so that like there's a square that is like the wicket. And you have a round bat paddle and you kind of get bowled at, and you have to, it's exactly the same scoring as cricket and you're out in the same ways and stuff, but it's just called stoolball. Yeah. When I moved to Kent and met my wife, I was like, oh, do you play stoolball around here or something? And she was like, what's that? And I was like, it's just a weird thing. But I grew up with it. So yeah, no, it's interesting to find that two other people also don't know what it is.
I have no idea.
You're taking this up now.
Ah, oh, just that weird bloke from Sussex, as always.
Well, they are strange down that neck of the woods.
We are, yeah.
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 Intriguing stuff, and great to sort of get a little bit of your backstory, guys, which is really interesting. So let's switch to baseball for a few moments. It is a baseball podcast, after all. What do you make of, and of course, you as well, Mark, in this, mate. What do you guys all make of the Brewers' season so far? Are you happy, disappointed? Is it kind of how you thought it was going to go? What are your reflections so far?
I think it's kind of how I expected it. I'm always, like, for me personally, I'm always jealous of other teams that have, like, you know, 1,000 bajillion wins. And the money and the superstars, and they're breaking records, and our team is just our team. Like, we're always, like... Like, we call the Cubs our little brother, but we're like the little brother of MLB. MLB doesn't even like us, it seems. Like, but, like, I love them, and, like, when they do great, I get happy, but I don't really expect much from them, and I don't know if that makes me a bad fan, but it's just, like, I'm sick of being disappointed, to be fair. Like, we're disappointed a lot.
We have a schedule that we, because if you go onto the website, there's a schedule every year you can, you know, like, print out. And every year we print it out and put it on the fridge. And over every game, we put an L for a loss and a W for a win. If it's a walk-off, we write a W exclamation point. And as the season progresses, there are more and more angry, hard, black L's written on the games that we feel bad about. And occasionally, some rather coarse language is written on there by a certain person who's upset with them for a certain period.
Okay.
I can show it to you. I can hold it up if you want. It's just out of reach over here. I think there's something about them being the underdogs.
Yeah.
They're always the underdogs, and someone's got to support them. That's not why I support them. I could support anybody.
Well, no, you can't.
Well, I could.
That would be divorce.
Yes, it was the team that I was introduced to the sport by, but I don't want to support anybody else. These are our guys.
And I love them.
And they might not be the best in the world, but my little motto is, we will celebrate their successes and mourn their losses. And that's all you can do. And that goes for any team, really. But there's something about the Brewers. They're kind of like the underdogs. But I think I also just love the whole vibe. I love everybody on the team. They've got a really good
atmosphere. We have a better vibe now.
We've got a better vibe now than we did. What, even
at the beginning
like
of the season, I don't know how you guys felt, but the beginning of the season felt really depressing. Not April, because we were doing really good, but then we had that stretch of we couldn't string more than 2 or 3 wins together, and it was like, where's our winning streak? Yeah. It was really depressing. Yeah. But since the trade deadline, I feel like Santana and Canna they've added a spark that I didn't know we needed. Like, I didn't know they would provide. I was really excited about Santana being signed because he did that walk-off dance against us when he walked us off, and he did the dance at home plate, and I was like, I love that guy. I hate him right now, but I love that guy. So just bring that kind of fun in, and then so next 26 games that we play, we can just enjoy them and watch them have fun and have fun with them.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of points there. First of all, the reason I follow Milwaukee, I have no family in the US at all. Yeah, so I don't, it's not that I have an auntie that lives there, for instance. So I literally could pick any team, but I love the smaller franchise thing. I personally wouldn't get any pleasure being a Dodgers fan and watching the Dodgers win the World Series because they haven't done it for a while, but the Padres, because these are clubs, they're like Chelsea in the Premier League and Manchester City. They have, as you say, a gazillion dollars to spend. And it feels, you know, the one thing with the Brewers, if we ever win the World Series, we certainly won't have bought it, because we can't afford to buy it. And for me, we will win it just by playing great baseball. Exactly. And, you know, that's the way I see it. That's why I love supporting the Brewers. For me, the smaller franchise, I'm all about the romance of it. And that's yeah. what's really the reason I support the Brewers.
I love that.
That's a very nice way of putting it. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
I'm all about the beer and the hot dogs.
And the cheese.
And the cheese, yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, similar, you know, I had the choice of picking any team, and the name of the Brewers stuck out mainly because at the time I was a single bloke and I was going to the pub a lot and I liked beer, so the Brewers stuck out, and the more I looked into it, the more I liked it. And obviously, as we've already spoken about earlier on, you know, I'm from a small county in England called Sussex, and it's very much looks after itself and it's very proud of its homegrown. And the more I looked into Wisconsin, that was very similar. I think everybody in Wisconsin very much backs Wisconsin sports and yep. wants their own teams, wants their own team to do well and their homegrown players. And as you can see, I'm wearing a Owen Miller t-shirt, and you know, so yeah, and the more I kind of looked into it, the more I just fell in love with the Brewers, and yeah, that was kind of how I ended up in it. And like yourself, you know, looking at this season, I think it's gone as I expected it to. I thought the Cardinals might have given us a bit more of a run for our money. The Cubs have been a bit more of a surprise than I expected, but either way, I thought we'd be in a 1-2 chase with one or the other. I think the only consistency this year has been we have been at the top, whether it had been the Pirates at the beginning or the Reds then took over, and then the Cubs obviously have their charge now where they're trying to catch us. We've been the only team that has been either first or second all season. So, you know, it's felt optimistic in the fact that we were always going to look towards postseason probably. And, you know, whether we got there or not, I think we probably will. But, you know, 26 games is a long time to go. But, you know, I think our division has been very funny this year. And I'm still expecting the Cards to suddenly go on a run. I don't know why, just because they're always annoying and they always do. So, yeah, it's pretty much gone as I expected, I think, this year. You know, we all knew our pitching staff was really good, and we all knew that our weakness was our batting. So, you know, we've kind of run with it, haven't we, and got the results where we've needed them. So, yeah, happy.
Don't disagree with anything you all say. I mean, going back to the trades, I mean, Kenya and Santana were two great offensive boys for us when we needed offense. We've relied on our rotation for a long, long time to go deep into games. So we have got the best rotation, certainly in the National League, probably maybe in the whole of baseball. And the problem with that is when one or two people, so we lost Derek Lair and we lost Woody and Freddie Peralta was out for a while, you know, you start to see those gaps. And for me, the main concern I had before the start of the season, it wasn't so much around our offense, it was more around our bullpen. I was really nervous that we didn't have that depth. So at the moment, we're sitting on 76 wins in this season. And I must admit, my reflection is, I think it's gone okay. As you mentioned, Mark, you know, we've been first or second. I think we might have slipped to third once or twice, but not for long. Sometimes that league looked like it was upside down. You had the Pirates top, you had the Cardinals at the bottom. Then it was, you know, the National League Central is a mad place to be anyway, right? But yeah, my reflection is, I think we've done okay. And now that our rotation is getting back to full strength, I'm really optimistic that we're going to have a strong finish to the season. I can't see, I say this every year, but I can't see anybody touching us for the championship. I just can't. And that's not me looking through Brewers tinted spectacles. That's just based on what I really genuinely do believe. The Cubs are trying. You know, the Cubs are not going to go away. The Cubs are going to hold on to our tail. But I don't think, certainly with the running, and we'll have a chat about the running a bit later on in the pod, you know, our last few games or our last 20 or so games, we've got, I'm not going to say the easiest, because that's how you make mistakes when you start to underestimate your opposition. But we don't have a tough running. The Reds and the Cubs have a tougher running than we do. So when you put all that into the mix, yeah, I'm seeing us winning the league by five or six clear games at the moment. So I'm happy. I'm happy with the signings. I think we've done okay. And seeing some of the young guys come through, you know, Joey Wine, obviously Garrett Mitchell got injured early in the season. That's a real disappointment, because talk about an exciting player, an absolute prodigy of a player. He's an amazing guy to watch. But seeing some of the young guys, and now Sal Frelick, you know, having his chance, and I wouldn't say ripping up the majors, but absolutely, he's there on absolute merit, not because we're weak at the moment. He's playing some great baseball. And for me, I put all that together and I think, well, what more did I expect from the season? And I think I'll be disappointed if we don't win the league now. That will take the edge off it, obviously. But
if someone had said to me last year that the Cardinals were going to be 17 and a half games behind, I would have said you're having a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I don't know what's happened to that team.
Cast the Cardinal Devil magic to the Brewers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it has to be. It's our turn now. You're right. We shouldn't be disappointed in the season at all. We have done really, really well, given all the injuries early in the season. Losing Woodruff was hard. I couldn't cry. Yet for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm just an emotional person. Like, I just want us to do better. I just want the rest of the league to shut up. Like, I hate that they talk about these great teams all the time. Everybody's always talking about the Dodgers and the Braves, and I know that they're great. Just shut up about them. Like, I want us to just crush them all. Like, I just have such high hopes, and then I get so sad. I'm an emotional person. I can't help it.
Yeah, hey, sports people generally are, right? Sports fans are emotional. That's why we do what we do. But if you look at across the wider baseball now, not just the Brewers, if you look at some of the other teams which historically have done poorly, they're having a very good season. I mean, you've got Arizona having a great season. You've got Baltimore having a fantastic season there. I mean, who would have thought Yankees bottom of that league at the start? You know, no one would have predicted that, right? Yeah. And Seattle as well in the American League having a great season. So these are franchises which recently have struggled, but then I've just flicked a switch this season. And I agree with you, Bo. It's nice to be talking about other teams. You know when the Yankees aren't doing too well, because it's not that people don't talk about them. It's that they kind of just don't talk about them at all, as if to say, let's not mention that they're playing really badly. they never say the Yankees are playing awful. They just don't say anything at all. But yeah, I think until we've won the World Series or done something like that, we're not ever going to be spoken about, you know, in the same breath as some of the other major franchises. We got a chance. I mean, you look at the National League. I mean, we spoke a little bit about our season, and towards the end of the pod, I'd like to get your predictions really as to sort of how many wins you think we'll get. So something to have a little think about before we in the next half hour or so. But in terms of the National League, who do you see being our major rivals postseason? I'm assuming we're going to make it, yeah? I know I'm tempting fate, but hey-ho. Who do you see in the National League as being a major rivals to us getting to that World Series final?
Everybody.
I can go first if you like, or for me at the moment, the Braves are by far the best team in the National League. It's going to be very difficult to stop them, but as the Phillies proved last year, all you've got to do is make postseason and you're in with a chance. So at the moment, Braves are the favourites, I would say. But once you get to postseason, anything can happen. Expanded rosters, you've only got to get an injury at the wrong time, as has happened to us before, when we ended up having Brent Suter as a starter instead of Corbin Burns, and it takes one game for it all to go wrong, doesn't it? So, I think Braves at the moment, you pencil them as the favourites. But I think just get there first, and we'll worry about the next game and then the next game, and that's all you can do.
Bites of the apple. That's all you need. Yeah. Bites of the apple.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think good point you raised there, Mark. Anyway, around the Phillies, and obviously we've just come off the back of a three-game series against the Phillies. I was impressed. I must admit, I was really nervous, even though we were at home for that three-game stand. I was nervous because the Phillies are in good form. They're hitting more home runs this season, I think, than they have all of last year, and there's another month to go yet. Bryce Harper's playing phenomenal. I was really nervous. So to win those first two games and put seven runs on the board, for me, I thought, we're hitting a good vein of form at the right time.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, I was nervous going in. In fact, I think I might have said, we might get one. We'll scrape one win out of the three.
I think we put L's on the board ahead of time.
I think we put L's on the board ahead of time.
Like tempting fate, sort of.
That's a rip them up.
Turn an L into a W. Yeah.
Well, we'll make the L so it kind of looks like half a W. So if we need to fix it, we can fix it easily.
Yeah, no problem.
But yeah, I was we won the first one and we were like, that was really good. Then we came back and won the next one. And I was like, well, we'll probably take two or three. And of course, that's exactly how it went. But I'm okay with that. I'll accept that. Like, Phillies for sure.
I am afraid of the Braves. But the funny thing about the Brewers is, I know we didn't do particularly well against the Braves during the season, but in the postseason, it'll be like we sweep the Braves and like lose to the Diamondbacks and get swept by the Diamondbacks. Like, that's just like, if the A's are in the postseason, they're going to sweep us. Yep. Like, we down to our competition, it seems, but
that does that's happened a lot.
I feel like we're hitting a different stride now that we aren't doing that anymore. So I think if we face the Braves now, we can easily take two or three. I say easily, and I mean it.
Yeah, well, our rotation's got stronger, hasn't it, since we actually played them in the season. So that puts us in a better stead. We've got the bats seem to be a bit more awake at the moment than they were back then as well. So, yeah, definitely puts us in a better stead for it. And I think, I mean, the Phillies was the test for me this week. I know the last two series we had the Cubs and the Phillies. Yeah. The Cubs are far enough behind for us to lose one or two games with them catching us up a little bit. The Phillies was the real test because we could have got swept by them because they've been hitting home run after home run. I think they set a National League record of 59 home runs in August.
Yeah.
Like the most home runs it hit in 1 month in the National League, which you think, oh God, we've got to face that in September. And they did. Yeah. They hit loads of home runs, but thankfully, you can't just get by on you know the boom or bust, can you? You know their defense was a bit shaky as Alec Boone showed. You know, didn't pick up that ball and Miller got that hit and cleared the bases. You know, and you know it was a game they should have won and we stole it off them.
I felt so sorry for him.
Yeah, and then we went and beat them quite comfortably the next day as well. So you know, I mean, I know we hung on a little bit towards the end because they got their boomsticks out, but you know, we had a big enough lead to cope with the home runs. But yeah, for me, the Phillies was the bigger test than the Cubs. I wasn't too bothered about the Cubs. I had a feeling, you know, it would go 2-1 either way. And as long as we didn't get swept by the Phillies, then that put us in a good stead for chasing the division now this month. So yeah, for me, it was two perfect series, really.
Yeah, and I think there's three names in terms of our offense that I particularly wanted to get your opinions on, really. I think Christian Yelich has had, I'll describe his season as solid. I mean, he's posting over 800 OPS, okay? Leading, I think he's got 27 stolen bases. He's kind of gone under the radar a little bit because we're all waiting for that 18-19 season, Yelich again, aren't we? But he's been really solid this season. I think we're always expecting him to be over 1,000 OPS player, and it's not going to happen every season or maybe one in three seasons. But I think he's been solid. I think he's you know, in that start-off role, I think he's done a job. He looks to me like he's regaining some of that confidence that he clearly lost when he had that bad knee injury.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The weight of pressure on his shoulder when he signed that massive contract, I mean, that would affect anybody mentally, right? But I'm watching him play now, and I'm thinking, yeah, I think it's taken a few seasons, but I'm seeing that Christian Yelich coming back now, and for me, that's really exciting.
No, I think that's great. And if this is the Yelich we have going forward, then I'm really happy with that player. And I think it's great.
I think it was last year when he just didn't look himself at all. It wasn't the Yelich we know and love. He looked sad. He didn't look happy. He looked like he was seeing the ball all that well. I don't know what he's kind of worried, but then he's after a bit of a slow start to this year, I think he's got so much better. And it's like the old guys, we can see the old guy coming back now, I think.
Yeah,
it'd be nice if we got the 35-40 home runs back as well. But you know, the on base, you know, I mean, he was, even in his poor form last couple of years, he was still getting on base quite a lot. And this year, it's been more with the bat than it has been with the walk. So, which has been better, and that makes us a bit happier, doesn't it? So, yeah, I'm perfectly happy with him the way he's progressing. If that's what we've got for the next few years to end that, then yeah, I'm happy.
Just sticking with Christian Yelich, the reason I say he's been under the radar is when you look at a lot of the major offensive stats, he's leading a lot of them. So I was just looking at the stats there while we were talking. He's an absolute workhorse. He's had more plate appearances and at-bats than any other player. Okay, so he's had 507 at-bats. He scored 95 runs, which is top. 141 hits, which is top. 69 RBIs, which is top. I mentioned 27 stolen bases, which is top. The reason I say he goes under the radar, it's almost like we haven't, I don't know if people are really getting this, but he's absolutely, and he walks as well. He's 67 walks this season, which is top. So all of the major, and I say his OPS is over 800, second only to William Contreras, who we'll talk about in a moment. He's leading most of the offensive stats this year. And as you said, Bo, if that's the Christian Yelich we have for a few seasons going forward, I'll take that with both hands now.
I think fans, well, like, I think we all know that Twitter is kind of a hellscape. And so you see some of the things that people say on social media, and people are really harsh, and people want that 40 home runs, and they want three-run bombs and grand slams, and they want that Yelich. But this is a human being, and he suffered a severe injury. Like, we have to give him some leeway to grow and heal and find his new normal. And if this is the new normal, hands down, that's fine. I would like another player to hit 40 home runs. That would be great, but it doesn't have to be him. But it seems like whatever he does is very quiet. He does everything quietly. Like, so he leads all these stats, but nobody really talks about it. And I think he probably prefers it that way, because he seems so soft-spoken.
He's a very humble guy.
Seems like it, yeah.
I name loads of other players who I just don't like them because of their ego.
Yeah.
You don't get that with Yelich at all.
Yeah, he seems that way, doesn't he? You know what? I'm a big fan of data, you know, and the numbers don't lie. He's having, for me, a pretty, pretty good season. So, William Contreras, hey, what can we say about him?
Like, I love the passion that he has. Just when he comes up to the plate, whether it's him or even when Yelich comes up to the plate, I don't feel that, like, this is an automatic out. When Contreras comes up to the plate, you know something's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's okay, because the next at-bat, something's going to happen.
Yeah, he's going to do something every game, isn't he? He does something every game. And he's really solid behind the bat, the base as well, isn't he? So, you know, he's just been such a good addition, because that's one thing that the Brewers have always had. We've always had a really good catcher. You know, from the time that I've been following, 2014, you know, we've always had a fairly solid catcher behind the plate. And he's definitely fit in that mould. And the fact that he's young as well, and we could have him for a good long time. You know, he could only get better as well. You know, I mean, he's already, is he All-Star last year, wasn't he? Did he make it this year as well?
He didn't make it this
year. No, but he will be. I mean, going on the form that he's showing, he'll be All-Star again, 2, 3, 4 times possibly, you know. So, yeah. He's definitely my favourite of the Contreras brothers, I have to say, but, you know.
We've got the good one. And, of course, we're on about, you mentioned the vibe earlier. And it's obviously massively important to have a good dressing room. And a major part of that for the last couple of seasons has been Willy Adames, obviously. Had a quiet spell going back a month or so. Couldn't get on base. Was just striking out. Looked like he'd lost his mojo for a bit. Yep. And I think that reflected into the whole team. It seemed that sort of major sort of driving force was going. But last month, he had a great month. He came back, and he's now, his offense is now back up to where it should be. I mean, he's just below 700 OPS, so he's not where he would want to be. And recently, there's been a couple of, there's been a couple of slip-ups in the field. But in terms of his defensive run save, he's up there amongst the best in the club. So I still think in terms of our shortstop, we've got someone there who is a great player and offers the team a lot more than just the play. You know, what he does in the dressing room, the whole high five thing, the cheese head thing. He's like the cheermeister general, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it's good to see him having his mojo back, because I think certainly as we head towards postseason, you know, baseball's such a long game. I've never known a sport like it. You know, 162 games regular season plus extras. Yeah, I mean, that is a long old season, and to keep that momentum and that energy going for all that time, that's a gargantuan effort, isn't it? But, you know, last month or so, I think he's back to where he should be. And, again, I think he's enjoying his baseball, which is good to see.
When you mentioned the vibe, look at what happened when we got rid of Hader. how it just sucked the life force out of the clubhouse, and it was like, what's
we
happening?
Killed the vibe.
Yeah, the vibe was completely.
It's real. The vibe is real.
The vibe's real. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, Lauer was livid with that, wasn't he? Because he was like, you know, I'm here to win a World Series and you're trading away one of our best pieces. What am I doing here? You know, kind of. And it's possibly affected him this year, to be fair, because he hasn't been the same. He picked up his injury. But yeah, the clubhouse is such a massive thing. And particularly when you're a small market team, you've got to rely on those people working for each other, because you can't rely on them to just say, here's another big paycheck. Let's go and get that big bat that we need, or let's go get that backup defense, or, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, when Willy Adames is firing, obviously the Milwaukee Brewers are generally firing as well. So, yeah, it's good to have found form again, and at a time when the Brewers seem to have picked up pace again, because this time last year we were all very glum, weren't we, after All-Star Hader being traded and then losing a six-game lead in the division to not even make postseason. It was a pretty awful end to the season, wasn't it?
It was so heartbreaking.
And so I had to change my Twitter name as well.
Oh, yeah, because you were Hader's hair, weren't you? Yeah.
That's changed my Twitter name. I learned that day. Never name your Twitter account after a player. So, I mean, just on that, guys, do you feel that we'd have traded Hader if we hadn't had Devin Williams? Because he was obviously the natural replacement, wasn't he?
If Devin Williams was what he was, I don't think we would have traded Hader. But with him waiting in the wings and so amazing with his airbender, and I don't know, when you have the replacement, it's easy to get rid of the guy. But if you don't have the replacement, how do you confidently get rid of the guy?
Absolutely, yeah. And that 7-8-9 of Boxberger, Williams and Hader, that was lights out for pretty much 90% of any team we played. You know?
Yeah.
But we could take Boxberger, a 1 or 2 run lead into the seventh and know we're going to win this game. We're just so confident with the back. Yeah.
Before Boxberger, though, it was old JP, wasn't it? Before we traded him to get Adames.
Yeah, Mr. Fireisen, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that 7-8-9.
He was having a hell of a season for us, Mark, wasn't he? When we tried
him. Yeah.
He really was. I mean, he's a Wisconsin boy as well, but I was absolutely gutted when we traded him. I thought he was really showing some proper form. But hey ho, baseball's a very transient sport. It's the one thing in the years I've been watching it, or the few years I've been watching it, the whole player, the whole trade thing, I find it makes my head spin sometimes. You know, you start the season with a particular team, and you can finish with a team that does not resemble it at all. It's weird,
That was something I found hard to get used to, because it took me a couple of years to get into it and understand it more. And I've got a fairly good grasp on it now. But I remember the day I woke up and we'd got rid of Orlando Arcia. And it was like, he was just here yesterday. He was in a uniform yesterday. Now he's gone. And I still find that hard to handle sometimes. Is that literally overnight you can lose a guy who was with you hours ago, just like that.
Well, that's why I love that. There's that iconic scene, isn't there, in Moneyball, where they, you know, that's where I really sort of, and I know it's a movie, but where they just call him in the office and go, you've been traded. So, thanks for everything. Goodbye.
Yeah. Call this guy. He'll sort you out.
Exactly. Call this guy. Yeah. He'll sort you out. It's like, whoa, that's so cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
But that's the sport, right? It's crazy. But towards the end of the pod, and I know we're sort of going to be running out of time, but we'll have a little chat about how we think the season's going to end. But one thing I wanted to touch on, just going away from the Brewers for a moment, guys, was I know that you guys have been involved in sponsorship of minor league players. It's certainly not something that I was too aware happened. So, yeah, tell us about that. It sounds fascinating.
It started, I believe, in 2020 when the seasons got canceled. I feel terrible that I don't actually know it's called Adopt a Minor Leaguer. And the guy who started it, I don't actually know his name because I only know him as Adopt a Minor Leaguer. But he went to a game after the season had been canceled and he was talking to one of the players and they're like, we don't know what we're going to do. And so he somehow created this program where you sign up to get assigned a player and you send them care packages, basically, money or gift cards. Or like, we sponsored he was in high A for the Marlins. He was a pitcher. And so we would send him care packages of just food that they can have in their locker room and Mio, the drink mix, was really popular. Just things like that. And they just ask for like $100, $250 a month worth of stuff or cash that you send to your guy. And you can kind of build a relationship with that guy, and you hope that you're helping him make it to the big leagues. Fingers crossed.
And we managed to meet him once.
We did.
Just so happened we went to a, what, Timber Rattlers Low A?
Hi.
Hi, A. We went to a Rattlers game because we knew he was going to be there, and spoke to somebody in the office and said, hey, look, we sponsor a guy on the other team. Are we able to meet him? And at the end of the game, they went down and he came out, and we spoke with him for a little bit. I think he was a bit overwhelmed because I don't think people generally meet the people they sponsor. But yeah, like that was fun. It's nice to help other people out who are less fortunate than you might be, and it's one of the reasons why baseball is the best sport, that we were able to do this for a little while.
It's well documented, isn't it, as to how tough the minor league system is as a player, because you know you're not on the big monies. You're not flying to games. You're on a coach for 12 hours a day. And anybody that makes it, you know, they've put that graft in. And obviously, if you're helping somebody out, you know, psychologically, that must be a real boost for them. And particularly 2020 as well, with the COVID season where everything was just shut down. And these players that were supposed to be playing and on contracts were just told, you can't do anything because you're our player, but you're not allowed to go and get a job. And, you know, they weren't able to do anything, were they? It was probably a really horrible time to be a minor league player at that point. So, yeah, this adopt-a-player thing sounds like it was an ideal solution for a fix that MLB could have fixed a lot easier.
Yeah.
With their Mega Millions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. And it's cool getting to, like, just meet them and help them and know you're helping somebody follow their dream. Because I can tell you, accounting wasn't my dream, so I can help somebody else follow their dream.
What you didn't,
I love to watch, and maybe they'll make it, or I don't know. Just it's a cool program, and there's a lot of people who sponsor a lot of these kids. And I know that like the laws have changed and the wages have changed, but to me, it's the heart of like sending a care package to somebody. It's not really about the money. It's about showing somebody that you care about them and that you know, believe in them. Because equipment is so expensive. Because I had asked him once to send me, how much does the equipment you need cost? And it was, we couldn't. I was like, we're going to have to stick with the snacks, because he wanted a pitching machine to help him and things like that. And even just like gloves, like baseball gloves, why are they so expensive? My goodness, I feel bad for these guys. So, but we did what we could for him for as long as we could.
I think that sounds absolutely fantastic. I really do. A really sort of altruistic thing to do, helping someone you've never met. I think it's fantastic. And you're right when you mentioned, Mark, I don't think people understand the divide between the major league and the minor leagues in terms of salary and this kind of thing. Those guys in the minor leagues are not earning much money at all generally. And we can't forget, can we, that without the minor leagues, we don't have any major league. So this is pretty important. So no, I just think that's fascinating. I wasn't aware of the scheme, but there's, you know, amazing people like yourselves doing that, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. So kudos to both of you.
If we did this for money, we'd be able to help out as well.
What do you mean? I'm not getting paid again, Mark.
It's in the check's in the post, mate.
typical accountant. And also, I believe something else, which I know you guys, I saw a really funny video that you posted online, but you guys have had somebody very famous on your couch, I believe.
Yes, the one and only Tim Dillard.
Tim Dillard.
That was an adventure.
Tell us about Tim.
It was the weirdest thing. We were aware that he was asking people if he could come and stay, and I said to her, is he actually going to do this? And she was like, yeah, he will. And I was like, well, I mean, I've got a history in film making a little bit, and I was like, well, why don't we make a video instead of just a message where we say, hey, you can come. I was like, let's make a little thing. So it's me on allegedly on the TV with an awful American accent. Yeah. He allows like nine runs
nine
in the first
straight day. Walks and a grand slam.
Nine walks and a grand slam, and I switch it off. And then, of course, we ad-libbed a little thing, and we sent it to him, and we said, you know, here you go, Tim, if you want to come to West Bend, ha ha. And she uploaded it in about 20 minutes. She looked at her phone with her eyes wide, and I went, well, what's wrong? And she said, he's watched the video, he's coming to stay. And I went, get that out of here. I was like, no way. And she showed me the message, and he wanted our numbers and where we lived, and we literally jumped up and down in the living room because we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then he gave us the dates, and I was a nervous wreck. I was like, this is happening.
There was some booze drink.
There was a lot of booze. Didn't help at all.
Yeah.
And about, it was something like 10:30, there was a knock at the door, and we opened it up, and it was Tim Dillard.
That's crazy.
He spent 3 nights with us.
He was brilliant. Very fun to talk to.
He was great.
We talked to him about the minor leaguers, because we told him about the Adopt a Minor League program and stuff like that, and it was just cool. And then we thought he was just going to go to the bathroom or something. He just went to go to bed in the room where we had him staying. He didn't say goodnight or anything.
He never said goodnight every night. We'd have a conversation. He'd be like, all right. And he'd leave, and we couldn't come to the bathroom, and he just never came back. So the first night, we waited up for like 20 minutes going, is he coming back, or has he just fallen in? And then we realized he'd gone to bed. We were like, okay, well, I guess we'll go to bed now. But no, he was great. Yeah. He got up in the morning, and he left. We didn't know, because obviously he had to go and do the show, and then it would get to like 11 o'clock. He'd be walking again. Hi, Tim, how'd it go? Blah, blah, blah.
He brought me some prizes. He brought me some bobbleheads, which was really kind of him, because I have a collection of bobbleheads. So he brought me some bobbleheads from the stadium or wherever, which was cool, because he didn't have to do that, but it was really sweet of him.
And then if we could take some like pictures with him. So he pretended he was asleep, and I kind of looked like I'd kind of broken into his room to get a picture with him. But he paused for them.
Yeah, he was a very nice guy.
And then he always makes a little video wherever he's been, and he shot a little video in our spare room the morning he left. I don't know if you've seen that, but I can allow you to see it after this. So it was kind of weird to watch the pregame show, and there's our spare room on the whole Wisconsin Sports television, and it's his little video that he made in our spare room.
Yeah.
And the morning he left us a lovely thank you note. He left us some Tim Dillard merchandise, because he gets his own orange sunglasses made up, and he gave us some other stuff. And he was just such a nice guy. And he was in and out, and it was probably the weirdest 3 days of my
existence. So surreal. Like, you watch him on the broadcast, and then like he'd come home and it'd be like, hi honey, you're home.
And because I'm interested in like behind the scenes and how things are made, I was asking him things like, what's it like in the studio, blah blah blah. And he said to us some things you'd never hear anywhere else. He said, well, you know what? If it's really warm and we're sitting at the desk, we're sometimes not wearing our trousers. So we've just got our shirts on. And the reason we never get up is because we've taken our pants off because it's too hot. But you would never know because we're sat behind the desk. So there's loads of little behind the scenes things like that I found absolutely fascinating. And it was just really good to have them.
Yeah.
So they're suited from the waist up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, tell me, is his beard as fantastic in real life as it looks like on TV?
It was an epic beard. It's an epic beard. I don't know how you grow a beard like that. No. Like, it's amazing. So
you could keep bees in that beard, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yes.
that's fascinating. And like you say, some days you must pinch yourself and think, did that actually happen?
Yeah.
Did I dream that, or did it really happen? You know.
Yeah, but this is what baseball. Baseball just brings dreams out for everybody, doesn't it? I mean, we sit here pinching ourselves, so we do a podcast that people listen to about a sport on the other side of the world, and you know, and it's bizarre. And I was saying, sure, you know, I've been on BBC TV talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean,
really?
It's just absolutely bizarre. I was on a baseball. Yeah, I've been on. We had a baseball program on BT Sport as well for a bit that the producer was really engaged with the MLB UK community and always wanted us to do little videos and send them in, and they would integrate them into the program and stuff. And it's just baseball has just brought so many dreams out. We're not playing it, but you know, we've been able to do other things that are just totally surreal that you wouldn't get any other sport, you know.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I agree. Such a welcoming sport. It's more than just a sport for me. I love it. I love the whole community. I think it's fantastic.
Exactly. And I can segue into our next conversation now, as I say, you know, that baseball people are genuinely good people.
Yes.
And that's been written somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was a line in a book at some point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've read it recently. Yeah.
Do tell.
I'm sure it's an excellent book.
It's a very good book. I read it, yeah.
So, Bo, this is your book, that your novel that you wrote, well, I don't know how long ago, you'll tell us now, but you wrote a book.
Seeing Eye Fish, yes.
Mark has a copy. So tell us about the inspiration for that then. How did that happen?
We owned a betta fish, and I was riding an exercise bike, and I thought, it'd be great if he talked. And that was it. That was the inspiration for the story, was Carl, the betta fish that we had.
Okay.
It just kind of, I don't know where it comes from, just... I love the Brewers, so like I'm writing another book about a different character, and of course she's a big Brewer fan too, so because baseball is amazing and it's really wonderful to like kind of slip in there. But yeah, that's about it.
So this is a big hobby of yours, then, creative writing?
Yes. I'm more creative. I don't really know how I ended up in accounting because numbers don't match, but I do enjoy writing, yeah.
This is your chance to plug the book. So, where is the book available? Is it on Amazon or?
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What's that? There's a bookstore in the UK.
Waterstones.
But all online. It's all online. It was self-published.
Okay.
Went through a company that helps you self-publish, and they edited it, and they assured me that the typos were fixed, but they were not. There are about 3 typos that I spotted, but you know, that's okay.
That's right. It's
debut novel.
I did notice there were a couple of those, but to be honest, it didn't affect the reading of the, you know, you kind of got the story anyway. So yeah. But yeah,
now, when you say the typos, do you mean, is this the whole American spelling versus British spelling thing?
Oh yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Totally. Everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. Yeah. It's a really nice little rom-com kind of, very surreal story, but you know, it's kind of the story you could see yourself almost falling into as well. So I enjoyed it. I read it on my holiday when I was away for in July. So and it was nice to actually read a story that actually mentions the Brewers in it. And I totally understand why Elliot has the patience of a saint.
it was really hard work in that she wanted everything in there that she wrote about to be actually happened. So she had to go back, look through years of stats and find out who we were playing, when, whether we won or lost. So all that had to be real and had to be accurate as well.
It's more so in this book now that I've gone back to the 2018 season. I'm going like by day, going like, okay, what game will be on the TV when she's doing X in this next book, which is called The Truth About People. I just like baseball. I like incorporating baseball, and because like you guys said, baseball is an inclusive sport and it's nice to write about.
It sounds fascinating, and so the book is The Seeing Eye Fish. So you heard it here first. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and all those other places that Bo just mentioned. So check it out. Mark Lewis recommends it. 5 stars, Mark, yeah?
I do, yeah. I gave it a review on Amazon. So
I printed the review out and I have it taped up in my cubicle at work.
Oh, awesome.
My inspiration is growing. When I feel sad or low or self-like conscious, I go, remember, baseball people are good people.
Yeah, and also, that was the most important thing is, who gave you the title?
Gav may have been the person who titled the book.
Okay.
Fair. Credit.
That's a really important job, Gav. That's a really important job right there.
See, it took hours and hours. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, right. It just popped into his head.
I can't remember. I don't even know about how I came up.
I don't know, but it works. It was a good title.
Yeah, it catches the eye, that's for sure. Yeah, you pardon the pun. It does catch the eye. Yeah. So, in a moment, Mark, I know you've got exciting news about a little giveaway. A sort of basketball stroke baseball Wisconsin giveaway. So I'm not going to ruin that. You can tell the guys in a moment. But just before we do that, I just wanted to finish off going back to baseball again and the Brewers for a couple of minutes. We've got a few games left. Brewers got 26 games left this season. currently sitting on 74 wins, I think, something like that, or 76, was it? 76
Yeah,
wins.
74, 60, I think, isn't it? No, 76.
76, 76, 60, that's yeah. right, yeah.
Yeah, put it on the screen now, yeah.
yeah. Now, we mentioned, we touched very very briefly earlier that we do have an easier running. So we're looking at Pirates, Yankees, Marlins, Nationals, those kind of teams. The Cubs have got the Giants. They've got the Diamondbacks twice. They've got the Braves, the Rockies, yeah, and the Reds. They've got Seattle. They've got the Twins. They've got the Guardians and the Mets. So it appears that we may have the slightly easier running towards the end of the season. I'm going to put you guys on the spot now. We're currently on 76 wins. Of those 26 games we've got left to play, how many wins do we finish the season with?
I'll let you go first because you have the same answer every year.
I'm always hashtag 80 wins.
Okay.
But realistically, I think we could get maybe to 90. But I still stand by my hashtag 80 wins. I have it up on my board at work. And,
So 80 wins, that means we're going to win 4 out of our last 26. Oh, I hope you're wrong, Bo.
I can remember last year, I think we finished in second place and we had 86. And last year was rough, especially after the trades.
Yeah.
I do think realistically we'll get to 90. Like, we have to.
I first said 70, and then I kept going up by 5. I was like, well, maybe 75 wins. Now I'm thinking I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to say 95 wins.
95 wins. I'm writing this down.
You can quote me on that. 95 wins, I'll be very happy with 95 wins.
So Gav's on 95. Yeah. Okay. Bo, are you sticking on 90?
I'm sticking at 90.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, see, I'm with Bo. I think about 90. I think we'll be just above 500 for the remaining games, so 14 and 12. Looking at who we've got, you know, we've got the Pirates and the Yankees who aren't particularly great. We should win those games. But we've got teams like the Washington Nationals and the Miami Marlins who are a bit, you know, the Miami Marlins this year, when they've played well, they've been really good. So, you know, we've got to play 7 games against them.
So we've got Pete them twice, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. And I know Pete Pratt, who is the Miami Marlins UK guy and does Locked On Marlins. He's really loving them at the moment. And so I'm a bit nervous about them. So we've got them in a 4-game series. I think we'll probably split that. And then it could go either way with the 3-game series later on. So I think we'll do the St. Louis Cardinals both series. I think we'll get both of those. And hopefully it'll all be done and dusted before we face the Cubs in the last series.
So. So what's your final number then, Mark?
You can't my final number, I think, is going to be 90.
I'll
go 91 then. I'll go 91 then.
All of a sudden, number 20, 95 seems like a lot of wins.
You know, we got this.
Well, you know what? So I looked through these games earlier just before we come on air, and I think we're going to win 16 of the 26, just looking on my screen here, and that gives me a total of 92 on the season. So there you go. I'm going to keep that there, and then in a few weeks' time, guys, I'll retweet that to see who was the closest. But yeah, I think the Cubs finish 84, and I think the Reds finish 83, which means we're going to win by I think eight games. There you go. Okay, Mark, talk to me about the fantastic giveaway.
Ah, the fantastic giveaway. So yeah, beginning of the season there was a giveaway, wasn't there? A Giannis jersey. One of the games they were giving them out to the first 30,000 fans that turned up at Miller Park. I can't even remember who it was, but I think it was a Saturday night, and I cheekily put a tweet out to say if anybody happens to have a spare one, I'd quite like one. And two people actually stepped up, Daniel Timms and Chuck. And they basically both got me one, so they sent me, so I've got two of them in the UK, which is great. And I don't need two of them, so I'm going to give one of them away as a prize. So I'm going to open it up to UK Brewers and UK Bucks fans, because I've let Sean from UK Bucks know about this as well, and he's going to retweet it. And pretty much I just want everybody to follow me and to follow him, and to like the tweet that I put out with the link to this podcast. And basically I think by the end of the season, so by the time we've played the last game against the Cubs, Anybody that has liked and retweeted that tweet and follows both myself and at UK Bucks will go into a random draw, and whoever we pick out will win the jersey, and it's the extra large size, and it's still in its package, as you can see here on screen. So yeah, so I'm going to give it away.
So I follow both you and UK Bucks, so I feel like I've been stitched up here. So can I unfollow you and then refollow you again?
It's not you don't have to follow me, it's you have to be following me. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's a way of engagement, isn't it? You know, we'll utilize it. But yeah, I'll open it up to UK Bucks as well, because obviously a lot of them are Wisco sports fans. You know, we've got a lot of followers from when Sean started doing his UK Bucks account as well, and there's been a lot of crossover, and obviously came on the pod as well. So we'll basically, you need to be following both myself and Sean at UK Bucks, and you need to retweet the tweet that I put out. At the end of the last game of the season, I will randomly pick somebody and let them know and send them the shirt.
Okay, excellent. So there you go. So you have to follow UK Brew Crew, follow UK Bucks, and retweet the link to this podcast, and you're in with a chance of winning that fantastic. I can never pronounce his surname. It's Giannis, isn't it?
Giannis
composite brewer, a basketball stroke brewer's jersey. So fantastic. Thank you for that, Mark. Guys, we're going to wrap up. It's been a great podcast. As I said, we always love talking to having guests on the show. It's been absolutely fantastic, and you guys haven't let us down at all. So Bo and Gav, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure to meet you both. Do you want to shout out your Twitter handle so that people can follow you?
I'm Brew Crew Beans.
Brew Crew at Brew Crew Beans. And Gav?
Yeah, Bo Beans at Brew Crew Beans. I don't actually tweet anything. I just follow. But yeah, people can follow
me. Just knowing you're there is enough. It's fine. And Gav?
I'm at Englishman in WI. Englishman in Wisconsin, that's what it's short for. Englishman in WI.
Love that Twitter handle. Fantastic. And as I said at the start of the show, I'm Sean. You can find me on Twitter at Brum Brewer. Mark, do you want to give a shout out to your handle, buddy?
Oh, well, everybody should know it's at UK Brew Crew. It's at UK Brew Crew on Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads, even on TikTok. But I've never posted anything on TikTok, so maybe I should start a new venture. But I'm at UK Brew Crew. Make sure you follow. And then also we've got the podcast Twitter handle as well, which is at UK Brew Crew Pod. So we've got plenty of ways for people to get in touch and follow, and we try to interact as much as possible, don't we, Sean?
We do indeed. Yeah, and we do appreciate any comments and thoughts that we get from you guys listening out there. We do appreciate that you're taking the time and effort to listen to these two English people talking about baseball as though they know what they're talking about. We do appreciate that. So listen, Gavin, Bo, enjoy the rest of your Labor Day. Thanks for spending part of it with us. It's been a pleasure. And enjoy yourselves. Have a great day. Mark, you take it easy, buddy. Always a pleasure to speak to you. And I'll speak to you soon. Of you guys out there, go careful. Look after yourselves and each other. And go Brewers.
Go Brewers.
Go Brewers.
Yay.